Well, good morning, y'all. My name's Trevor. I'm the associate pastor here. I always feel like I should reintroduce myself when I've been gone for a Sunday. In light of Advent, one of the things we want to do over the next few weeks is spend some intentional time in prayer, which today is very fitting with that, just because of this idea of expectation. The Hebrew people were an expectant people. They were waiting and expecting for God to come through in a big way as the Messiah, and that's kind of where we want to sit today. And I just had three questions for us to kind of pray over, because if you're anything like me, prayer isn't an easy access one for me. My wife is somebody who, she says, I feel like I'm always praying. She practices that pray without ceasing that Paul talks about in Thessalonians, right? But that's a lot harder for me to step into that. I need to slow down quite a bit before I feel I'm in the right mindset for prayer. And so that's where I want to go with our first question here today. You can journal this, you can silently, like, toss that prayer up to God. You can quietly mutter it under your breath. But for the next couple minutes, I want you to just pray over this question, just to for us to corporately get our hearts in the right place of expectation of God. And that question being, what do you expect from God on a Sunday? So I'm hitting a timer for 2 minutes. Let's take some time and let's pray over that question. Moving to our second question here of our time in prayer. I find that Advent is always a place of like a reinvigorating thing for my faith, of bringing it back to kind of a beginning, right? This is where we see a beginning of Jesus' earthly life, and that path to redemption, that path to the cross, right? And so in thinking of a series like this, where we're focusing on things like expectation and anticipation, just the idea of the coming Messiah, your second question for another few minutes of prayer is, what is your expectation of God through this series? Let's pray. bring it to our final question of our prayer time this morning. Oftentimes we think of Advent, we think of a series like this, or the expectation around the Christmas season, the holiday season, and we kind of limit it to just this room right here with the church folk, right? So my final question for you to ponder, for you to pray over is, what is your expectation of God to do through this season? Maybe that's inviting someone to church. Maybe that's inviting someone to your home who doesn't have a place for the holidays. Maybe that's doing something because it's starting to get really cold outside and finding some mittens or some stocking caps for folks who don't have a home. What's your expectation of God during this season? Holy God, in the quiet of this room, you are doing a work in us. You have brought us here to this building with these people for a purpose of loving you and loving others. And we thank you for moments of silence and prayer like this, however awkward they may be at first, to sit and hear from you and to share the inner workings of our hearts with you. As we begin our Advent season, God, we expect you to move. We expect you to do a work in each of us personally. We expect you to do a work in our church. We expect you to do a work in our community, and we hold our hands out ready for you to lead us in that. We love you and we praise you, God, in your name. Amen.
Well, when was the last time we had 6 minutes of silence? Yeah, maybe right before you fall asleep. Maybe, right? But when was the last time we'd have 6 minutes of silence as a gathered community? I think there's power in that. And we're going to be intentional with that as we go through our Advent season. Psalm 62, verse 5, the psalmist says, "My soul, wait only upon God, for my expectation is from Him." I forgot to do it at the beginning, but my name is James. I'm also one of the pastors on staff here. If you were here last Advent season, you got to experience Trevor and I co-teaching. We had so much fun doing that last year that we said, hey, let's do it again. So each Sunday is going to have a similar flavor and feel to it where we both get to share. On your table, there's a little journal book. It's got shadow and light on it. This is actually the cover of an Advent book that we're reading through. If you haven't seen the midweek over the last 2 or 3 weeks, it means we probably don't have your email address, so go ahead and fill that out on a connection card, put it in the box on your way out. Feel free to do whatever you want with this. You can doodle, you can draw, you can write your prayers, you can pass notes to your neighbor, whatever you feel is good. You can leave it when you go, if you don't mind people reading what you wrote, or you can take it with you. So, a lot of freedom in this. This morning we are talking about expectation, which is different than anticipation. Okay? Expectation. I'd be curious, think for a moment, what are some of your expectations in life? Okay, let me prime the pump a little bit. Like, when I go to a restaurant, I expect my food will be cooked the way I ask for it to be cooked in a clean and sanitary kitchen. That's fair expectation? That's an expectation. And I can't anticipate the food being really, really good, but my expectation is it's going to be cooked where it's clean and cooked to my specifications, okay? So what are some of your expectations in life? Another example, we have expectations of school teachers. Hold on just a little bit. You got 2 more weeks, school teachers, and then you got a break, okay? But we expect them to be good educators and to be safe for our kids, right? We want them to be a safe place, a safe person for our kids. That's an expectation we have. Kind of getting the idea when I talk about expectations? One more. If I go to a concert, it's not probably a realistic expectation, but I expect the artist to play all of my favorite songs. That's an honest-to-goodness expectation of mine. It has never been fulfilled, but I expect that. So think for a moment, even if it's just one thing in life that you expect. And we're not going to have you talk around the tables, because that was part of what was a challenge for the tables this summer. But if you have an expectation of yours and you'd like to shout it out, go ahead and shout it out. I'll say it again so that our friends online can hear. Yes. You expect, thank you, Mark. Thank you for sharing. Everybody say hi, Mark. Yeah, I don't normally do that to people, but you raised your hand. Mark expects that people will like the Christmas presents that he gives them. I expected my twin sister to take everything I gave her back. Deborah, if you're watching, you know there's truth in that. Okay, thank you. That's a good expectation. Somebody else, expectation. You expect to be paid for the work you perform. Yeah. I saw your hand almost go up there, Susan.
I expect other drivers to follow the rules.
Susan expects other drivers to follow the rules. And you anticipate that they won't, right? There's a difference. So what happens when our expectations are not met? What happens when what we expect is not lived up to? I mean, my examples, I send the food back. We'll fire the teacher if they're not safe, right? Go get another favorite artist. You know, if they don't play all my favorite songs, maybe my expectations are a little more extreme. Trevor asked us a good question as we were praying. What are your expectations when you come to church on a Sunday? And don't tell me you don't have any expectations, because over the last 20 years of pastoring here, I've had plenty of people come and tell me their expectations are not being met. Okay, I had one family come and tell me, we expect
to hear the pages of a physical Bible turning in our services. And at that stretch, we had all the verses written on a little sermon insert. And that family went and found another place to worship where they did have Bible pages turning. Now, if they came back now, they would normally hear Bible pages turning. But that was an expectation for them. Had another family had an expectation that every sermon would have 3 points. 3 full points. So for a stretch, and I think it's carried on for the last 15 years, I've been just trying to make 1 point because that's really all we can remember. And that family found another church that they could go to where the pastor gave them 3 points. Nothing wrong with it. It's helping them have their expectations filled. Similarly, we've had families that have come to me and said, I expect hymns to be sung on a Sunday morning, and if it's not, it doesn't count as church. And that family found a church that hymns were sung every single morning. There's nothing wrong with any of these things, okay? In some of these times when these people would come and talk to me, I had somebody who was part of my leadership say, you know, if people would just come to church without expectations, they'd be a lot less disappointed. And a lot less fulfilled. Thank you, Mike. Yes. So, expectation. When we come to church, do we have a holy expectation that God is going to do something? When we come to church, do we come here expecting God to move? Or are we just hoping the coffee got finished and that we got to it before everybody else did? Do we enter the Advent season? Another question Trevor asks, with an expectation on God. Not just expectations about specific meals we'll eat, or what presents we'll get, or how much time we'll have with family. All right, case in point, my youngest came home from college over Thanksgiving, and my hope, not expectation, my hope was that he would spend the 4 days with us that he was here. I'm sure he's not watching this morning because he's probably driving back to school, but I needed a realistic expectation. I expected him to be hanging out with his friends, and he was. In an Advent season, do we expect God to do something old or new? Big or small? Crazy or calm? Do we expect him to move? Psalm 119, verse 131. It is a long chapter, says this. The psalmist says, I pant with expectation, with longing for your commands. In the Hebrew language, the psalm paints the picture of something gasping for air with a wide open mouth. I mean, think of going down to the bottom of the 12-foot pool when you were little and pushing off the bottom and that top couldn't get there soon enough. And as soon as you got there, it's like, that's what the psalmist is painting this picture of. I pant with expectation, longing for your commands. The expectation they had, I love what Trevor said about the Israelite people being an expectant people. They expected something to happen when they engaged with God's word, when they engaged with God's commands, when they engaged with God. And our hope in this Advent season, as we go through it, as we intentionally slow down, is that we will allow expectation to grow. That we'll allow expectation to take root. We've already had that in the time of prayer. Each Sunday, over the next 3 Sundays, we're going to do something called a Lectio Divina, a sacred reading of text. We've done this before. If you don't know what it is, I'm going to talk us through it. Ultimately, I'm going to read through the text 4 or 5 times with just little prompts, and we're going to expect God to move. Expect God to speak to us. And if it's not an audible voice, that's fine. But we are trusting that the Word of God is living and active and can have impact on us even today. So during this time, you can take your journals, you can draw, you can doodle, you can play tic-tac-toe with your neighbor, as long as you're listening good enough to engage with the text. Okay, so 4 different times I'm going to read the text. The first time through, I'm going to ask you to listen for a single word or phrase that rises to the top. I'll actually read it through twice. And this is the text that Trevor's going to come and share a short message on when we're done. It starts with Psalm 119, verse 131, and then it's a Psalm 119, verse 17 through 21, and verse 24. So again, as I read this, just in your heart of hearts, listen for a word or phrase that rises to the top. I pant with expectation, longing for your commands. Be good to your servant, that I may live and obey your word. Open my eyes to see the wonderful truths of your instructions. I am only a foreigner in the land. Don't hide your commands from me. I am always overwhelmed with a desire for your regulations. You rebuke the arrogant. Those who wander from your commands are cursed. Your laws please me. They give me wise advice. As I read it through a second time, again, be listening for a word or phrase that rises to the top. And this time, as that word or phrase rises to the top, allow your mind to wander to the feelings that it evokes in you. Whether it's emotions or feelings, emotions such as joy or sorrow or fear, satisfaction, longing, peace. Pay attention to what mental pictures come to mind as this word or phrase is used, and allow your mind to just kind of settle on that. Psalm 119, verse 131. I pant with expectation, longing for your commands. Be good to your servant, that I might live and obey your word. Open my eyes to see the wonderful truths in your instructions. I am only a foreigner in the land. Don't hide your commands from me. I am always overwhelmed with a desire for your regulations. You rebuke the arrogant. Those who wander from your commands are cursed. Your laws please me. They give me wise advice. On this third time through that I read it, still continue to listen for that word or phrase that rises to the top, still paying attention to the emotions or the feelings that are conjured up in you. And this time, we'll leave some room for you to ask God about them. Just in the quietness of your heart, ask God what the feelings might mean, what the emotions you are having might mean. Talk with Him, converse with Him, listen to Him about what you are experiencing. I pant with expectation, longing for your commands. Be good to your servant, that I may live and obey your word. Open my eyes to see the wonderful truths in your instructions. I am only a foreigner in the land. Don't hide your commands from me. I am always overwhelmed with a desire for your regulations. You rebuke the arrogant. Those who wander from your commands are cursed. Your laws please me. They give me wise advice. Again, during this moment of quiet, talk to God about the word or phrase and the emotions, mental pictures that have been conjured up within you. in this final time through, feel free to just allow the text, God's word, to envelop you, to surround you. Just sit in it. I pant with expectation, longing for your commands. Be good to your servant, that I might live and obey your word. Open my eyes to see the wonderful truths in your instructions. I am only a foreigner in the land. Don't hide your commands from me. I am always overwhelmed with the desire for your regulations. You rebuke the arrogant, and those who wander from your commands are cursed. Your laws please me. They give me wise advice. This is the word of the Lord to us this morning. Jesus, may that come alive, be active in our minds, our hearts, our lives. We expect you to change us because of it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Week, one of the questions that we asked was, where do we see expectation in this text? Because at face value, it might not seem that way. We've just heard it a handful of times, but I want to read it once more and just hear the words that God is telling the original audience. Be good to your servant, that I may live and obey your word. Open my eyes to see the wonderful truths in your instructions. I'm only a foreigner in the land. Don't hide your commands from me. I'm always overwhelmed with a desire for your regulations. You rebuke the arrogant. Those who wander from your commands are cursed. Your laws please me. They give me wise advice. Sometimes we forget the expectation of the Hebrew people that it was saturated in their scriptures. When they read a text like this one, they were hearkening to promises that were made throughout their history. They were remembering when God blessed them with water and food in the desert while they wandered. They were remembering that God had delivered them and led them to a land that was for them. And more than this, the common Hebrew didn't have access to God directly. That's a privilege that we are afforded in 2025, in a new covenant, right? A new way of interacting with God. You could read the scriptures, you could read the Torah and the Psalter and the historical works, but you might not receive that tug of the Holy Spirit on your heart. You didn't get to enter into the Holy of Holies in the temple to be in God's physical presence. The oral history of the law was the prophetic expectation of redemption through the Messiah. I'm going to say that one more time because that's a big one that I need to wrap my head around. The oral history of the law was the prophetic expectation of redemption through the Messiah. How then did they live this out? They were to know the scriptures and to trust them. If their history had told them anything, it was that God could be trusted to come through for his people. God had always been faithful in his liberation and redemption of the Hebrew people. And many of the prophetic voices that we've read about this year, actually, with having just done a minor prophet series, they called for the remembrance of that law, of that covenant, in the corporate memory of the Hebrew people. And many of those same voices uttered hopeful messages of reconciliation to each other and to God. When the psalmist says for God to open the eyes to see the wonderful truths of God's instruction, this is what a Hebrew would remember. When we approach a section from the Bible and we attempt to figure out what we're to glean from it, we are, as this author states, we're foreigners in this land. We earnestly ask God that the commands we find in here would not be hidden from us. They weren't written to us, but they were written for us. They were written so that we might grow into our image in which we were created, which is that of God. That we would grow in love and sacrifice, that we would understand what God wants for this world, what God wants for the lives we live. When we settle into an idea that God's law pleases us, that it gives us wise advice, it can open our hearts to what God can do personally and cosmically. And it means, like the Hebrews, we move towards expectation. The Hebrew people believed that God could change things for the better. They believed that it was something that God could do in each person. And they expected God to do that, because they knew from that same oral history that time and again, they couldn't fully do that themselves. We as a people are the same, are we not? We can change small things like habits and the like, but when it comes to a big personal change, I believe that comes from God. That comes through God. And the Hebrews believed that. We see that in stories like Jacob or Joseph. We see that in stories like Esther. We see it in the wisdom found in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. And I think it's important that we expect God to change us personally. When we're waiting with an expectant heart, it readies us. It readies our hearts and minds to align with His. We begin to move towards God in relationship, and the Holy Spirit does the rest of that work. I remember early on in ministry for me, there was a fair amount of insecurity, not only because I was green in my field, but also because of my personality. There had been kind of a trend of the quote-unquote youth pastor personality for 20 years on before I got into ministry that was this really engaging and energetic and, like, fun. And the idea was that you were, like, part-time pastor, part-time stand-up comedian that excelled in building relationships. And when I reflected on myself, I began to wonder if ministry really was a place for me. I wasn't somebody that was particularly funny or energetic. I was driven in relational, but not in the stereotypical ways. And I wrestled through this for some time. And I began to pray. And as I prayed, I began to expect God to do a work in me. I began to ask that He would change me so that I could minister better. But the way in which I reached out to God and the way in which He changed me were very different. Rather than making someone who became more funny or energetic or chaotically fun, I began to see the way that God had gifted me for ministry and who I was. I began to take all the more seriously the call that He'd placed on my life to do this work. And that even in the ways I thought myself deficient, they could be counted on strengths as strengths in other areas. God did a work in me personally to accept myself so that I continued to serve Him well and be confident in my place in His mission. And maybe for you, God's done a similar work where He's helped you feel more comfortable in your skin. Maybe it's about God has worked with you through navigating personal loss or the death of a dream or an area or habit that's been hard to kick. So I ask you again, as we've asked so far this morning, what do you want God to do in you? And how can you prepare your heart with expectation? Now, if you're sitting here today and you've been in that space and you've either just learned something new about yourself or you've begun to change through the Spirit's work and, you know, perhaps you know where you need to go personally, I still have a word of expectation for you as well. As the Hebrews believed in the personal redemption through Christ, they also believed in the cosmic redemption as well. And you might be asking about this term. Is He talking about space? Is He talking about the power cosmic from the Fantastic Four franchise that the main villain Galactus uses? No to the second and sort of to the first. When we talk about cosmic redemption, we mean the redemption of all that this world and universe holds, the cosmos, if you will. It is an inherent belief that God will redeem all that is broken in this world, all that is broken within us, and everything in between, so that we might live in perfect harmony with Him for eternity. When we step beyond personal redemption that all of us need, and we open our minds and our hearts to something even bigger than that, we expect God to move and act in a cosmic sense. We expect God to uphold the earth and do a work in it to sustain it. We expect God to move and redeem all creatures within this world. We also expect God to move us toward a united eternity, and that all creatures must be reconciled to each other. That means the reconciliation of ourselves to nature, to the different races and peoples and tongues. It means reconciliation of all to all, so that in the final days we might worship together the God who we expect to move. So I ask you to ponder this question as we have pondered today. Where do I expect God to move cosmically? And how can I move my heart towards expectation of God doing so? When we enter into this Advent season, we are not only remembering the expectation that the Hebrews sat with and waiting for the Messiah, we wait for our Messiah to return and the expectation of His work in the meantime. If you bow your heads with me, I'd like to pray this verse over us. That is why they stand in front of God's throne and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will give them shelter. They will never again be hungry or thirsty. They will never be scorched by the heat of the sun. For the Lamb on the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of life-giving water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Amen. This time, Mike Crouch is going to come up and share about a service opportunity.